Iraq today is actually quite stable in the sense of the structure. Nobody threatens the government anymore. There's no insurgent group which can overthrow the state. It very much resembles more and more life in third world countries where violence just becomes a normal day-to-day thing you avoid as a civilian, like in Mexico.
In 2003, Neil Rosen was embedded with U.S. forces involved in counterinsurgency in Iraq. The sectarian approach, he says, soon became the governance strategy of the U.S. occupiers in dealing with Iraqi society.
Iraq has no history of any kind of civil war, any kind of sectarian violence between Sunnis and Shias. It took the combination of American aggressive acts in Sunni neighborhoods, for example, in Fallujah. The Fallujans were against resisting the occupation. They said, let's give them a chance. But the Americans had this attitude that Sunnis are hostile to the American presence, Sunnis are the bad guys. It took the American occupation of a school and then the killing of about 17 Iraqis in a demonstration in late April 2003 to turn Fallujans against the occupation. Fallujah became known later on as this mythological place of resistance or terrorism.
In the growing chaos, communities organized self-defense militias and initially collaborated in an uprising against the occupation. But increasingly under siege, the leaders of the Sunni minority refused to participate in the state security apparatus and hardened their stance against the more pliable Shia majority.
Parts of Fallujah were occupied by the more extreme Al-Qaeda fighters who were dispatching suicide bombers, targeting Shia markets on a daily basis, targeting policemen who were mostly Shia. So by late 2004, when the Americans finally destroyed Fallujah, many Shias in Iraq felt like they deserve it. You had hundreds of thousands of Fallujans pouring into western Baghdad, places like Abu Ghraib, Amriya, other neighborhoods. They displaced Shias who were living there. Those Shias fled to East Baghdad, began to displace Sunnis.
The Sunni leadership then made the mistake of boycotting the elections and
the government became dominated by sectarian Shias. And you had the emergence by the spring of 2005 of the death squads, land cruisers, which everybody knew belonged to the Ministry of Interior, showing up in Sunni neighborhoods, rounding up random Sunni men, and then 2 weeks later you find the Sunni men executed in a garbage dump with signs of torture. And it became quite clear by 2005 that each group had its own method of execution. And if a body was found with power drill marks, that meant it was killed by Shias. If a body was found beheaded, that meant it was killed by Sunnis.
Eventually, the Sunnis were defeated, and in 2008, in a surprise move, U.S.-supported strongman al-Maliki crushed the Shia Mahdi militia, and the Iraqi army replaced the American in Baghdad. Today, the sad legacy of the U.S. invasion is largely ignored.
The horrors of Iraq are never going to be known. Hundreds of villages were destroyed during the civil war. Sunni and Shia neighbors who had no history of conflict before the occupation ended up turning on each other in the most brutal way. Likewise, Iraq under occupation was in Abu Ghraib every day. Tens of thousands of Iraqi men went through the American prison system, sometimes spending years in American prisons in Iraq, and then being handed over to the Iraqi security forces, which would torture them even more brutally. Most of them were never tried or charged with anything.
And so it is that the nation of Iraq, with its rich and ancient history and world-renowned museums, and whose universities and hospitals were once the envy of the entire Muslim world, now lies in ruin because America needed revenge for the 9/11 attack. For the WBAI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.